Good, good sing this morning. I was trying to look around that last song and see who was really glad, all right, and see how many smiles I saw there. I saw some. Not too bad. But anyway, also, Ben, congratulations. See Cody back there just graduated from Police Academy, so congratulations to him. Amen. That's a great accomplishment. And then looking forward to the service this morning. Then we got baptism after, man. I'm excited about that, too, so we're going to do that in a few minutes. Get to Brother Jason, if we'll come read Scripture.
Let's turn your Bibles to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. Man, what a great song service so far. So appreciate the focus on Christ. I was thinking this morning, even thinking this week, as we had a week with the basketball team and then Miss Johnson and other things going on. Yeah, I'm so glad. I was listening to the song this morning. I'm so glad that Jesus stays the same and that God stays the same. I think about another basketball year goes and another one starts, and then Miss Johnson, with the loss of Miss Johnson, and then I was passing Joey this morning on ride in, and you know, when you're going through it, it just reminded me of some things even when we were going through with Dad, and just such a burden, and I'm so glad that Christ stays the same. You know, everything, circumstances change, and man, just a tough times, I know for you all. I've been praying for y'all, but man, just so glad that Christ stays the same. What would we do if he didn't? I'm so glad of that. Joshua chapter 6, read verse 2. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor." Let's pray. God, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done, Lord. And Lord, as we look around, Lord, even the auditorium this morning, Lord, there are so many, Lord, that are struggling with different things, Lord God. And we do thank you, Lord, that you stay constant. You stay the same. And Lord, when all of life is shifting and moving, and God, we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for a place where, Lord, we all can come, Lord God, as Dad so often said, a spiritual hospital, where we all can come to try to get help and to try to get remedies for the things we're struggling with in our life. And, Lord, we can find it in the Word of God. And, Lord, so thankful over this series we're doing on Joshua and just, Lord, in the series on victory. And, Lord, I don't know about anybody else here. I know I need spiritual victory often. And, God, I just pray that your hand be upon this place. Thank you for it, Lord. I pray that, as Brother Frank said, Lord, this place would glorify Jesus Christ. Lord, I believe so far we have. And Lord, I believe that will happen in the message hour as well. Lord, give us a good one. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Good. Thank you, Brother Jason. And I appreciate the music choir and then the quartet. And then Mrs. Hayes at the offertory. Thank you for that. This morning we're in Joshua chapter 6 and read the second verse there. And we'll get into that. I was thinking this week I read an article, and it was talking about the greatest inventions of the last 1,000 years. And it mentioned that the number one as the printing press, and that was several hundred years ago. But number two was the electric light bulb. And that was in the late 1800s. So that's really, if you're going back the last 500 years, that would be, and we look at today, we get to enjoy the light that's in here. You think about what life would be like without that. Just a few weeks ago, Micah had to do a paper on Thomas Edison. And so as I was writing that paper for him, as I was helping him with that paper on Thomas Edison, I learned some things about Thomas Edison, the light bulb. And he didn't necessarily come with the first one to come with an idea of the light bulb. But here's what he did. He's the one that took that and perfected it. And he did that by doing the same thing every day. You know what he did every day? He got up and he tried something else. They were really searching for something that would help it last and be efficient and be able to be used on a daily basis. So he spent day after day after day after day. And most every day, right, he'd get up and he'd fail, but it meant something else that wasn't going to work, so he could sort of cross that off the list. And so really, it's sort of boring when you think about it, but he just got up and did the same thing every day. And did the same thing every day, and did the same thing every day, until what happened? Until he accomplished something miraculous, impossible, great, right? Something we all get to enjoy today, and we're all thankful that he put the time and the work into that. But, you know, this morning, this is I specialize in simple messages, all right? And this is a pretty simple message. But you get here to Joshua chapter 6, and you think of all that's gone up until this time, the people of Israel, that they've got to be, in some ways, you would think, sort of chomping at the bit to get at this, right? A lot of preparation's gone into that the last several chapters, and God said, hey, before we go, we've got to do this, and finally we're able to cross the Jordan River. Then once they cross the Jordan River, God said, there's a few more things I want you to take care of before you go into the land of the Canaanites there and into, and especially the city of Jericho. And so this morning, I just want to take a few minutes, very simple, but talk about what God did for the people of Israel. And I don't always alliterate, but today I am. And so the first thing is this that we have here as we begin chapter 6. We have the formidable foe. The formidable foe in verse number 1 says, Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. This to me sounds like a COVID lockdown, right? That's what they were at. Right? They were locked down. Nobody went out. Nobody came in. Jericho was shut up. Of course, we know it had those walls, and that's why they did this, right? Secure themselves. And there was a reason for doing this, because the Israelites, they had heard about them coming. We know from a couple chapters before, Rahab talked about that. They knew what was coming. And so we have this formidable foe, this city that's walled. And look back, in fact, look back, we talked about this a little bit last week, back in verse 13 of chapter 5. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, they lifted up his eyes and looked. And again, I just picture in my mind Joshua walking and looking at the walls there thinking, how in the world, how in the world are we going to defeat this foe, these people of Jericho that it seems impenetrable, right? We can't get in there. And there's no way that we're going to be able to attack them. And so Joshua's walking around sort of looking. He sees that wall. He sees in verse 1 there that it's shut up. There's no way to get in there. All right? Not only are they not coming out, there's no way to get in. So how in the world are they going to defeat this foe that they have? And, of course, then we talked about this last week too. Joshua, as he's walking, sees what? Sees the Lord. And so he sees that foe. He sees that wall, but he also sees the Lord. And I like this. Look at this. Again, I don't want to add to the scripture, but just a picture in my mind. Joshua, and of course we know the Lord's there, and he gets down on his face before God and worships God. And so we really continue this into chapter 6. And so verse number 2, the Lord's right there with him. The Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. So Joshua's looking around and he sees all this Jericho, and then God speaks to him and says, see, I've given you this land. And I can imagine Joshua's mind thinking, no, I don't see, right? I don't see how you've given me this land. I'm looking at it, I'm looking at this whole thing, and God's saying, see, hey, here's the victory. I've given it to you already. And Joshua's in his mind, I don't see that anywhere. I don't see any victory coming. I don't see how we're going to do this. And so he has that formidable foe. And by the way, all of us are going to have that at some point. All of us are going to have that walled city in our life. We're thinking, how in the world are we going to get through this? Hey, how in the world am I going to be able to conquer this? How in the world am I going to be able to go against this enemy? There's no way that I can do this. And Joshua, I can imagine him thinking, I don't see how this is going to happen. But then we have the second thing here, starting in verse number three, the fantastic formula. The fantastic formula that God gave to Joshua. And again, you put yourself in their position as Joshua is listening to the Lord speak. Here is the plan from God, verse 3, and ye shall compass the city. You shall circle the city. You shall go around the city, all ye men of war, and go around about the city once. Thus thou shalt do 6 days. All right, so you say, here it is. Here's the formula. Here's the fantastic plan that I have for you. You are going to take the people of Israel and y'all are going to walk around the city. Now again, you think of Joshua and all that's going on in his mind, and I'm sure the things as he looked at that wall and before he even saw the Lord there, and I'm sort of trying to make plans in his mind. But remember, we don't have time to go back there. But Joshua fought when Moses was leading the people of Israel. Joshua's the one that really fought. He's the one that led them. And so, and in fact, throughout the book of Joshua, you'll see God guides him. But Joshua's a great tactician when it comes to war. And so I'm sure in his mind he's thinking about how to conquer. And then God gives him his plan. He says, you shall compass the city, all you. He says, you take these men of war, you compass the city, verse number 4, to sort of separate them into groups. He says, seven priests shall bear before the ark seven trumpets of ram's horns. The seventh day he shall come to the city seven times, and the priest shall blow with the trumpet. So in verse number four, we have four times the mention of the seven, right? So it says, take seven priests, seven trumpets. On the seventh day, they'll go around it seven times. That's the plan. Six days, you'll go around once. You'll circle the city. The people will do that. And then you'll have the priests that have seven trumpets, and those seven priests will also go around seven priests, seven trumpets, 7 days, the seventh day, seven times. And here's what's going to happen, verse 5. When you do that, it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast of the ram's horn on that seventh day, the seventh time, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall send up every man straight before him. So here's the fantastic formula, Joshua. You march around it one time, 6 days in a row, and then the seventh day you get those trumpets blowing on the seventh time around, and the people will shout, and Joshua, here's what's going to happen. The walls will fall down. You can imagine Joshua as he hears that strategy. And now what does Joshua have to do? Joshua has to go tell the people of Israel what God's going to do, right? And he has to convince them of that. What I love here in this fantastic formula, hey, the trumpets are going to blow, the people are going to shout. I want you to notice what happens. In fact, let's go to verse 6. You have, first of all, the formidable foe. Secondly, the fantastic formula that God gives him. And then thirdly, and this is so important for us, you have the faithful following. Look at verse 6. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priest in verse 6. And look at verse 7. And he said unto the people, in verse 8, he'd spoken unto the people. And look at verse 9, and Joshua had commanded the people. You know what you don't see in those verses? You never see a time where Joshua goes back to God and questions what God said, ever. Never. I mean, that had to be something as he's trying to convince the people around him. But there's never a time where Joshua has any more conversation with God. His conversation is totally with the people, with the priests, giving them direction, giving them instruction. Here's what you're supposed to do. As we talked about even last chapter, Joshua was magnified in the sight of the people, and this is evident here because the people fall right in line with what Joshua says, no matter how fantastic it seems. But Joshua never once questions God. He never says, I don't understand how you're going to do that. I don't believe this can happen. No, he just goes and tells the people exactly what God said, the faithful following, no questions asked. He goes to the priest in verse number 6. His son and I call the priest, send them, take up the Ark of the Covenant. Let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horn for the Ark of the Lord. It says, so the priest needed to go before the Ark. Said to the people, verse 7, pass on, encompass, encircle the city. And let him and his arm pass on before the Ark of the Lord. Those that were going to fight and were ready to take the city in front of the Ark of the Lord. Verse number 8, it came to pass when Joshua had spoken to the people, the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horn passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed women went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the rearward came after the Ark, the priest going on and blowing with the trumpets. And so they had the people there, the armed men in front, and then the priests and the Ark of the Covenant, and then those that were in the back that would follow behind them as they went around the city over and over again. Look at verse number 10. Imagine this, and Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then shall you shout. So he gave them some specific directions. He says, I want you to march around the city, but I want you to do that without saying a word. By the way, this is something that, if we'll understand this, there's so much we can accomplish for God together. You think about the different personalities that were in this group. We don't know the total number. If all the people of Israel marched around, we're talking about millions. But those that were armed men, we're talking about hundreds of thousands that would march around the city together. And God said, I want all of you to be quiet. Not one person talk, right? So somebody wanted, and it wasn't about the individual and my personality and what I wanted to know. It was that everybody would come under the direction and accomplish something together. We don't know what was going on. I've heard preachers saying, and I'm not saying they're wrong when they say this, I don't know. I've heard preachers say, you know, the people from Jericho were up on the wall. They were
making fun of the Israelites or laughing at them. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say that. It doesn't give us that. We don't know what they were doing. We do know the Bible. The only thing the Bible does tell us is that they were afraid. We know they were afraid. And you think about it, that's probably somewhat intimidating to see that many people silently marching around. And I'm sure one, I would imagine they're wondering what's going on. They've heard about these Israelites. They know how powerful through the things they heard they are. And so they see that in some way and notice that. But I don't know what their reaction was outside of I know they were afraid. But no matter what, those people of Israel, they're just marching around. And so you know what they're supposed to do? The first day they went out, they were supposed to march around the city one time. And the Bible says to go back to their camp. And then you know what they did the next day? Get up and do the same thing again. Then you know what they did the next day? Get up and do the same thing again. And the next day, the same thing again. Sounds pretty boring, doesn't it? I mean, do you think, you think about what they had, these men of war, those that had been trained to fight, not all in war, I'm sure they're ready to go, right? I mean, they're ready to go do something. They're ready to get something accomplished, and yet God said, I want you to do the same thing again and again and again. And what they did was faithfully follow what God said. Over and over and over for 6 days, one time around. They went around, the Bible says, and they went back to the camp. Verse number 11, so the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. So they go around the city, go back to the camp, spend the night there at camp, get up the next morning, same thing again, same procession around. Second day, verse 14, they come to the city, return to the camp. So they did 6 days. So you have the formidable foe they saw. You have the fantastic formula. You have the faithful following. And then here's what God wants from us. It's interesting. He says, I'm going to give you the victory, but there's something I want. I hope you understand this in our lives as Christians. God wants the first fruits. The first fruits. So once you see these verses here, God says, I'm going to give you this victory, but look at verse number 16. It came to pass the seventh time when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. Verse 17, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein. To the Lord only Rahab the harlot, shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the message that we sent. Verse 18, and ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when you take the accursed things and make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it. Verse 19, but all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come unto the treasury of the Lord. The first fruits. You know, there were going to be a lot of battles they were going to face here in the land of Canaan. And there's going to be a lot of foes that they were going to defeat. And we'll get to that later on. In fact, there'll be a time where they're defeating 4 and 5 kings at a time. And there'll be a lot of spoil, a lot of riches, a lot of goods, a lot of food, a lot of things that they'll be able to take for themselves. But God said, I want the first fruits. And he says, as you conquer Jericho, everything that you get in Jericho is consecrated unto the Lord. It's his. We talk about the tithes and offerings. You know what God wants from you? He wants first. That's what he wants. You know, one of the reasons we give tithes and offerings, we don't just give 10%, we give the first 10%, right? What God commands us to do is to tithe to him, but to give him first. He wants you, hey, before taxes, you give it to God. Hey, before you pay your bills, you give it to God. Before you give God first fruits. He should have what's first. Because if he can get, God doesn't ask, this is amazing, God doesn't ask for all of it. He didn't ask for 90% and we keep 10. No, he says, I want 10, you keep 90, but I want the first 10. I want the first fruits. Matthew 6:33 says what? But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Hey, you know what he needs to have? He needs to have first place in your life. You know, the first thing you should do is honor God with what you're doing in your life. And you should do that day by day by day. It should be that he comes first in everything that you do. He says, I want the first fruits. All of that will come into the treasury. He says that all that silver, all that gold, all those things are God's. They're consecrated. They're set apart. By the way, the same thing's true when it comes to the tithe before God. That's holy to God.
that's consecrated, that's set apart. You better give him first. And so he said, I want the first fruits. So we have a formidable foe. We have a fantastic formula. We have a faithful following. We have the first fruits. All this going on as they get ready, preparing here, marching around the city of Jericho. And of course, look what happens in verse number 20. All that they've waited for, all they've planned comes together. Verse number 20, they finished it seven times around on the seventh day. So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets. Again, you'd imagine the trumpets blowing and the shouting, and we're talking about hundreds of thousands of people shouting together as they've been silent there, marching around the city, and now they shout together with the trumpets. It came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword. What happened? They got victory. God said it was coming. God said, I'm going to give you the victory, and they did what God told them to, and the Bible says the walls fell down flat. So how in the world did that happen? I can tell you how it happened. God did it. That's how it happened. Those walls fell down flat, and Joshua, back in the beginning of this story, is walking around thinking, how in the world are we? And God says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bring those walls down. Hey, you don't have to climb those walls. You don't have to. I'm going to bring those walls down if you'll just do what I tell you to. And the Bible says they utterly destroyed all in verse 21. You know what we need to do to see God do the impossible? We need to just do what God says day by day by day. You know what's not real exciting sometimes? What's not real exciting is reading your Bible every day. Praying every day. Hey, being a witness as we go out and we see others in need every day. Hey, you know what can get maybe a little boring sometimes? Is just doing right today. And then get up tomorrow and guess what? Do right. And the next day, we're just sort of walking around the city. Just walking around the wall. Hey, yesterday, guess what? We'll do the same thing today that we did then, and the same thing tomorrow. So, man, that's not a lot of change there. But you know what? If we're doing what God said, we just do the same thing day after day after day. Hey, God wants us to do right all the time. No, we're not going to be perfect, but God wants us to live a life trying to do right day after day after day. Go to 2 Kings chapter 5. I think sometimes if we're not careful, we want to do something great for God, and that's wonderful to have a desire to do something for God. But the way to do something great for God is just to do right today, and then to do right tomorrow, and then to do right the next day. 2 Kings chapter 5, look at verse number 13. Remember this story, and Naaman's all upset. Man, Naaman wants to be healed, and he wants to see the fire brought down from heaven, or the thunder and lightning, or something great. He wants to see something miraculous. I love this statement here, because I think it can apply to us. I know to me sometimes. Verse 13. And his servants came near, and spake unto him, and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? Let me ask you this morning. What if I said, look, man, we need to make some changes here. Let's get a group together and let's go march on wherever, all right? Let's go to the White House, all right? We're getting a group today. And we're going to make some change. I tell you what, God could do something miraculous through us. And you sign up today. We'll get the white bus. We'll get a driver. Let's see who's here. Brother Jason, you can drive. All right, you can drive for us. All right, good. He just agreed to that. We're going today. And we're going to go up there, and we're going to make a change today. You know, it's going to take some time today, but we'll get that done today. We're going to do something. We probably ask, hey, we'll do that. Hey, let's do something. Man, let's do something great for God. There's nothing wrong with wanting to do something for God, but you know how we do something great for God? We just do right today. Sometimes I wonder, man, if we could do this, that would be some attention or some wonderful thing. And Naaman would say, man, if he just called down power of God from heaven and healed me, that would be so wonderful. And His servant says, man, if he bid thee do something,
if he told you, I mean, you think about that. I think if he had told Naaman to go swim the Jordan River 7 times, Naaman, okay, man, I can try that. But no, he just said, just dip in it. That's it. Just dip in it. Naaman's like, there's nothing to that.
I'm not doing anything. And look what happens in the end of verse 13. How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean. He said, all you do is just wash and be clean. You know, sometimes there's people that try to make salvation too difficult.
You know what I need to do to get saved? I need to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. That's all I got to do. That's it. Because he's done everything. It doesn't mean it was easy. It doesn't mean it was cheap. It doesn't mean anything like that. He sacrificed everything for me.
But if I'm trying to do it myself, man, how much am I going to accomplish for God? No, what I need to do are the simple things. In verse 14 of 2 Kings 5, then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. You know what a miracle happened? Because he just did simply what he was supposed to do. You know how the walls of Jericho fell down?
God did it, and he did. But I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 11. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. Throughout Hebrews chapter 11, we have a lot of people mentioned. We have a lot of great men of God mentioned. We even have a couple women that are mentioned. We have one verse that doesn't mention any name in particular. Mentions a city. But I want you to Hebrews chapter 11 and look at verse number 30. You know how the walls of Jericho fell down? Hebrews 11:30 tells us, it says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. You know what happened? Those walls fell down by the faith of the people of Israel. What'd they do? They just did what God said day after day. Day after day after day, they just kept doing what God said.
And God did something miraculous because they just did what he said. You know what you need to do? You need to trust God. You need to obey. And then when you get done with that, you need to do it again.
And then when you need to trust God and you need to obey, and then you need to do it again. You know what we need to quit trying to do sometimes? Quit trying to do the impossible. Just do what God said and let him take care of the impossible. Hey, day after day after day, just do what he said.
Just follow what God's word says. You know, you'll conquer impossible foes by doing the simple things over and over and over and over again,
and then trusting God to conquer the impossible. That's what will happen. Hey, you just do right today and next day and the next day and the next day. Boy, that's impossible. How in the world am I going to be able to defeat them? No, you can't. But God can do the impossible if we'll just do what he's told us to. Hey, the people of Israel, they're looking for a great battle and a great victory. You know what? They had to do something. They had to be obedient to God's word. They had to keep doing the mundane thing over and over and over and over again. And we spend so much time, man, I want to do something great for God. You know what can be great for God is today doing what God said. And tomorrow doing what God said. And the next day doing what God said. And trusting him. What does the song say? When we walk with the Lord,
in the light of his word, the glory he sheds on our way. As we do his goodwill, he abides with us still.
And with all who will trust and obey. Last verse, then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet and we'll walk by his side in the way. What does it say? What he says we will do. Where he sends, we will go. Never fear. Only trust and obey. Will you sing the chorus with me? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Hey, God wants to do something great for you. You know how he's going to do that? If you trust and obey. And then trust and obey. Father, Lord, help us this morning. We do want to serve you. We want to see you do great things in our lives. So many times, though, I know for me, I want to go out and do something great. I want to accomplish something impossible. But many times, I get so wrapped up in what I want to do that I get away from just the simple day by day, get in the Word of God, follow the Word of God, talk to you, listen to you, trust you. Lord, help us today to trust you and then obey. Help us tomorrow to trust you and then obey, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. And Lord, as we are obedient and obedient and obedient and obedient and obedient, day after day after day, then trust you to take care of the impossible odds of the formidable foe, Lord, of those walls of Jericho. There's no way we could get down. Help us to take what you've told us, do it, and trust you. Lord, we thank you for what you've done for us, in Jesus' name. If everybody's standing with head bowed and eyes closed this morning, let me ask you this. As you're standing, head bowed and eyes closed, it's not really, to be honest with you, a salvation message this morning, but I want to say this. If you're not saved, it's a real simple thing. Not easy, but it's simple. You're a sinner this morning. Jesus Christ died to pay for your sins, and he wants you to trust him. Trust him to take care of those sins. So you can't pay him. It's impossible. Say, man, I don't know how you know. It's impossible. You can't pay for your sins. So don't even try. But I can tell you this. You have a God that sent his son to pay for them. So this morning, you just trust him. And he'll take care of those sins and cleanse you from them. If you're here this morning, you say this. You say, I know I'm saved this morning. I know I've trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. I'm not always what I should be, but I know I'm saved. If you can say that, just put your hand up and say, I know I'm saved this morning. Put your hand right back down. If you're here this morning, you say this. See, I'm just not sure about my salvation. If I was to die today, I can't say for sure I'd wake up in heaven. And if you're like that, get that taken care of. It is. It's God paid a great price for you. Did a lot. Boy, it's simple. If you're here this morning, you say, I'm just not sure about my salvation, pray for me. I don't want to embarrass you at all, but I want you to be honest before God and just say, just pray for me this morning. I'm not sure about my salvation. Just slip your hand up and say, pray for me this morning. And maybe somebody here that you haven't slipped your hand up on the outside, but on the inside in your heart, say, that's me. Hey, get that taken care of. God loves you. Let me ask you this morning. I know we want to do great things for God, and so do I. But how are we doing day by day? Hey, let's do the day by day right and trust God. Trust him to take care of us. As the music plays this morning, you come as the Lord spoke to you.
good. I'm excited about this. We've got a baptism coming up, all right? So sit tight for just a few minutes. We'll do that in just a minute.